When I hear those two Bible stories for today from the Gospel of John and from the book of Acts, it makes me wonder what the outcome of those stories would be if Jesus were to relate to people in the way that we typically relate to one another. Imagine, for example, that you were in Jesus' shoes and you had called Peter to be your follower. Going back to the beginning of that journey, when he began to question you and challenge you, and on many occasions, in fact, try and steer you in a completely different direction from the one that you knew was just and true, would you have remained committed to him? When you thought that he was maybe on the verge of seeing you for who you truly were, and then revealed the fact that he just didn't understand at all and was blind to that reality, would you have said to him, "You are Peter, and on this rock I'm going to build my church"? When you came to the most threatening, perilous part of your whole ministry, the place where you were putting your whole life on the line for faithfulness to this call, if you knew that Peter was going to bail, that he would cave into pressure and deny that he ever even knew you, that he would abandon you, would you stoop down and wash his feet? And would you invite him to this table of grace, this feast of love with all the other disciples? If he was nowhere to be seen in the hour of your death, and if, after hearing the news of your resurrection, he considered it an idle tale, would you have gone to him, sought him out, found him to offer him not any kind of retaliation, but the gift of peace and forgiveness? And would you at that point have called him once again to be one of those select few who would be responsible for bringing your ministry of peace and reconciliation into a troubled world? And finally, if after hearing that message of peace, after you had breathed on him this new life and offered him forgiveness and a new call, if Peter had given up and gone back to the life that he knew before he ever met you, would you have gone again to find him, to seek him out? And when you saw him struggling to do something successfully that was completely different from what you had called him to do, would you have said to him, "Here, let me help you succeed. Let me help you catch more fish than you ever know what to do with. And let me fix you breakfast. Come, eat, be filled with your companions." And would you, after the meal, have given him three chances to undo the three times that he denied you? Three chances to profess love for you and to hear again the call to feed others in the way that he has been fed. God's ways are not our ways, thankfully. And God's vision in Christ is not our vision. Until we are called into that, until we are brought into that by the persistent and unconditional love of God for us in Jesus Christ. Even in this story, Peter still struggles to see Jesus for who he is. But Jesus has seen Peter for who he is from the very beginning. And Jesus has never given up on the possibility that Peter will become that apostle who will lead a whole community of people courageously into new life together. When we read the book of Acts, we see the fruits of that persistent and unconditional love of God when we discover that Peter is finally fulfilling what God intended for him to do. And we see his words and deeds and his thanks for the way that he did play that important role in the birth of the church. But we also come to know through that book of Acts again that Jesus' vision for a new community is even much bigger than anyone had imagined. We learn that Jesus vision, Jesus' plan for inclusiveness goes far beyond that community of Jews that Peter belonged to. That it was a vision for a global community, people from Gentile world and from all over to be brought together into one family. And here again is where we see God's ways at work. If it were up to you to pick the one person in addition to Peter who would bring that vision into reality, would you have gone to a person to begin with who was doing everything in his power to thwart the movement that you had started? Would you have chosen Saul of Tarsus, the man who cheered others on and held their coats while they stoned one of your beloved disciples? While he was still breathing threats and murder against your followers, would you have seen in him the gifts of apostleship that were needed to transform this world of violence and of exclusiveness into a peaceful, unified world lived in your reign? Would you have found him, gone to him on the road while he was on his way to inflict more suffering, and said to him, not only, why do you persecute me, but Saul, you are the one I have chosen to be my instrument. The instrument that I have chosen to bring my name to the Gentiles and to kings and even to, again, the people of Israel. Like so many others, Saul struggled, in fact, could not see Jesus for who he was throughout most of this story. But finally, he came into that by this persistent, unconditional love of God for him. Because Jesus had seen Saul for who he was from the very beginning. And he never gave up on the possibility that Saul would become this apostle Paul, who would in fact bear this message of grace and mercy to a global community. When we hear these stories, it's hard, I think, to miss the implications of them for our own lives. Whether we see Jesus for who he is or not, these stories assure us that Jesus sees us for who we are. Yes, he sees our sin and our weakness, but Jesus also sees the unique gifts that every single one of us have been given by our Creator. Gifts useful for ministry. And Jesus never gives up on the possibility that you and I will be a part of the transformation of this world in our time through the words and the deeds that we do in his name. That's true for the two young boys who are going to be baptized today at our 9:45 service. It's true for the adults who are going to join our congregation through affirmation of baptism. But it's also true for every single one of us. Every one of us is trusted and called by God to play an important role in this unfolding promise of God to mend this broken world and to bless it and heal it. And the best that we can do today is to respond to that in a way that reluctant yet trusting servant of God named Ananias did in that story from Acts today. When Jesus came to him and said, I've chosen you to be the one to extend mercy and grace to Saul, Ananias was still living with a lot of questions about that, I'm sure, and still in so many ways feeling the challenge of that, going against what he would normally even imagine doing. And yet, instead of thinking of all of those different ways in which he could have easily said no, Ananias simply said, here I am, Lord. And when I see the way that God used him, the way that God took that response and then engaged him in a powerful work that had influence not only for Saul, but for all of the church that grew out of that, I'm encouraged, and in fact, I'm inspired to want to say the same thing, in spite of my own questions and my own inhibitions. Here I am, Lord. And may it be the same with you. Because the stories that flow out of that response of faith are ones that I always want to hear. Amen.